News Radio 690 KTSM presents more of the El Paso History Show, featuring your host, documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk, and historian Melissa Sargent. We're live online at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archived podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Here we go, starting hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment. Produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance, her story today is about early El Paso Fire Department woes.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. In 1883, El Paso's small but ever-ready fire department received its first hook and ladder wagon and two-wheel hose cart. But there's a problem. The carts are so heavy that by the time the firemen pull the equipment to the scene of the fire, the men are too exhausted to fight the fire effectively. So, the city comes up with a plan. When the fire alarm sounds, the first driver with horses to arrive at the firehouse to pull the equipment will be paid $3 to $5 per fire. But the response was so great that the horse drivers break into fistfights over who arrived first. Therefore, no one responds to the fire. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
I went there, I found you, and now what?
You imagine, though. You're sitting there, these guys are punching it out, and your house is burning down.
Do you know how much $5 was in 1893?
That was a lot of money.
That was huge money.
Oh, I imagine. But your house is burning. You know, it's like, somebody please.
Okay, do I hear 10? Then you get the wagons out there.
That's right.
Come on.
But I want you to know, talking about history, how it's always changing, learning more, there has been a discovery of another firehouse that was designed by Trost.
Which Trost? Augustus? Gustavus.
Henry.
I get that wrong.
Henry, I think.
Oh, Henry. Well, Gustavus did some of them.
Somebody will call and correct me like they always.
There's a new firehouse where?
On Texas Street. And also, we found out that the Trost brothers were volunteer firemen. What a hoot. I mean, so we're always finding more out about these people. So this is great.
Interesting
more and more
crowd.
History.
Well, they were tuned into our history even way beyond buildings.
Oh,
obviously.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
one of them was, a Scottish Rite Freemason that plugged into the society pretty good.
And you got the tours they've done the tours of the Trost firehouses also. So there'll be more of that coming along with the Trost Society. And if you're interested, get involved with the Historical Alliance now. And you can call Bernie at 915-581-7920. To learn more.
They got 40,000 plus followers on Facebook, and they're doing great. Tell you, the Facebook crowd that you want to take a look at also for pictures, and that is Remember in El Paso.
Remember When.
It's an odd name when you look at Remember in El Paso When. That's the whole name of the Facebook page. But when you get there, you realize, whoa, what is this? They have hundreds and thousands, I guess, by now, archived.
Yeah.
And these are pictures of El Paso that you don't really find most anywhere. One good group of the pictures was from El Paso Electric. They were throwing out all the old El Paso Electric files one day. Some guy went and put them in his trunk. I mean, it took more than a trunk, I think.
Yeah.
In the old days, when the electric company was putting stuff in, up through New Mexico primarily, and also down here all over El Paso, they would send a photographer to a location before they put a pole in. And they took four pictures each direction and put those in the file. I think they did this for liability issues. You know, no, we didn't destroy your little farm, madam, by putting that pole there. Here's a picture of it beforehand, right? And so that's what they did. But so they got somebody got their hands on all these pictures. So what I did, when the guy was running a couple of years ago, I said, he put up a picture, Clovis, New Mexico, downtown, 1943, 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, you got anything at 4 o'clock? And sure enough, he did. He then came back 2 days later, posted another one. The shadows were different. And they got these pictures. Anyway.
And who's responsible for putting on
that? Was John Mottinger back in the day. But then Barbara Givenbaney is the lady now running the controls over there.
The queen.
The queen of graphics on Facebook. So there. Ha. And New Mexico, I mean, stuff in there, you might want to see, Henrietta. Put up Henrietta here over. Check you. Turn this lady's mic on over. 3, 2, 1. Say again.
I'll have to take a look at that. Sounds fascinating.
It's called Remember in El Paso When.
Okay. Remember in El Paso When.
So there. And don't put that part on. Moving on to other things. What happened to Bob? Bob called back.
Bob Keller.
He's about to talk to Bob. Anyway, Bob's gone. So we'll talk to Bob. Maybe Bob can come to lunch today at Pepe's.
Ah.
We'll find out. That was Henrietta Christmas I asked that question of. Also in here is Barbara Hooten Clausen. What is the Hooten part? Because that's something that, you know, when you have a family name like yours, the Hooten part, that's kind of like Sunset Heights. I think of Hooten. You know, I think of Escarity Park, and I think of Leo Samaniego. His family was a part of the Escarity history. You guys are Sunset Heights kind. Is that true?
Well, the Burgesses are Sunset Heights. The Hootens were Central El Paso. He was the editor of the El Paso Times, grandfather.
But Burgess is the book of your grandfather. It's your grandfather.
Great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather. Okay. The book is called My Book, so that could be anybody's book, I guess. But this was Richard Finner Burgess's personal diary, 1891 to 1898. You're signing these books today. You'll sell them for $15, 1 o'clock.
At the Richard Burgess Library on Dyer.
What a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
But you're going to be at the Richard Burgess Library on Dyer. Ah, how about that? So that's what you got today. But what this is a diary of the man's thinking. Take a look at this. You see what a lawyer was thinking back in the 1890s.
At the age of 19.
Yeah, young guy doing this thing, coming to El Paso, observations. It's a good thing you put this down because, I mean, somebody saved it, obviously. And then you came along. And either you or your siblings or somebody pulled it off to put it into a book. How much help did you have to make that happen?
It was found in a box, and I found a UTEP student to transcribe it for us. It was a handwritten diary. Oh. And so it's about 9 months since we started to finish.
Good stuff. And that's available also at Burgess House over there at the
Historical Society.
But also today, 1 o'clock out of Burgess Library. Again, what a coincidence. So Henrietta Christmas. Now, there's a coincidence. Okay, what's the strangest thing people have ever said about your name?
What are your kids' names? Are they white? Mary?
Noel?
Did you just change your name for the holiday? How do you spell it? List goes on.
Yeah, okay, so you're used to this.
I'm used to
it. But Henrietta is here from northern New Mexico. She's got credentials. And you're old lunch today. You've got a book to sign.
I have a book.
But you're not going to sign it.
I'll sign the one that we're giving away.
You already did. But you can explain to people how to do genealogy specifically for Spanish heritage names.
Exactly.
Why is it different for them? Or do you have a?
Because the records are in Spanish.
Oh, well.
You pretty much do genealogy the same way everywhere in the world. Barbara and I were talking about this because she's a big National Genealogical Society past board member and et cetera, et cetera. And found out that her and my husband are probably related.
Have you ever done that DNA thing?
We talked about DNA last night too. Yes, we've all done DNA testing. It's the new genetic genealogy.
So that's did you confirm all your 12 guys that were with?
I confirmed a lot of stuff that's true on my paper trail.
Okay, Barbara, what about you? Do you go do a DNA thing?
I'm just starting and just learning, and I have a lot to learn. But I believe that everyone should leave their DNA behind today because we're just touching the surface of its benefits.
So somebody coming along later with that's a computer can say, what did grandma get into? And you can find out. Well, this is interesting stuff because the premise today that we've sort of looked at, how can we fill in some more blanks here? The idea was New Spain, which was El Paso, and your location up in northern New Mexico.
Right.
This was all New Spain.
But we're in Texas.
Okay, now in Texas, what was it with specific details of this crowd?
The Tejano Patriots basically drove 10,000 cattle to Louisiana.
From where?
From San Antonio area to Galvez to support the troops.
Galvez.
So Galvez, who was he? He served, it was a general, and he was basically involved in all of the Gulf Coast campaigns, including the Battle of Pensacola. Now, you may not know this, but Pensacola was the longest battle of the American Revolution. And it lasted for 3 months, basically. He held the British siege till they gave up. And so he basically gave all this naval support. We were opened the waters up for ships to go up and down the Mississippi River, up to the Ohio region to Fort Pitt.
The British had been blocking this?
They'd been blocking some of it, uh-huh. And so they opened the doors for all that. Some Spanish patriots were at the Battle of Fort San Carlos, which is today present-day St. Louis. Others were recruited from the Canary Islands, the Louisiana Infantry Regiment, all under Galvez. And the beautiful part of his story is that Galveston is named after him, which is also in Texas. And He spent the last 2 years of his life as the Viceroy of New Spain, which would have been down in Mexico City. And he's one of 8 people to be awarded an honorary United States citizenship, which was just done in the last decade or so.
How about that? So Galveston, yeah. Was he from San Antonio? Or
he was from Spain, actually, but he was a big general, and he was very strategic-minded, and he was a naval man also. So he understood the value of naval battalion fighting, frigates, and that type of thing.
So tell us what we need to know about this whole subject of New Spain, because at that time of the donations from this area to George Washington's army, New Spain donating to his army.
Right.
What came out of the El Paso area? Can you have any idea?
I can, because they collected the funds, and kind of when it was all said and done, the area we know as New Mexico donated money. But they also had people like Diego de Gardoqui's company in Spain. He was a merchant that gave 18,000 blankets, 11,000 pairs of shoes, 41,000 stockings, shirts, medical supplies. In New Mexico, El Paso area, we donated $110,300 in donations alone.
Wow.
So quite a bit of money. And even today, as I tell people, that Santa Fe, the governor's palace, is the oldest building in the United States. We have the oldest records in the country. The Bourbon flag still continues to fly over the Palace of the Governors in Santa Fe. And so kind of what would have happened is a mail carrier 4 months later after war was declared, a letter got to Juan Bautista de Anza, who was the governor of then New Mexico / El Paso area. And they would have had a town crier that came along and beat their drum and read the declaration and posted it up on a viga in the palace courtyard somewhere and asked for these donativos. And so from there, they went around the province, collected the money, or did an accounting, and then the distribution went to Mexico City. From Mexico City, it probably effectively went over to Cuba. So Havana actually played a big role in the strategicness of the naval battles and also getting equipment from the Spanish Americas up into what we would call then, they were still the British colonies, but the George Washington's battle against Britain.
Well, also you were talking, and maybe I forgot about it, we covered the dollar sign. Did we cover on that one also where that came from? We'd covered that. But the peso, did we cover that? How that became actually official currency
for the United States? Official currency. They had money. Most of the money was out of Spain. So they were milling dollars in the Americas, but it was considered a traitorous act or treasonous if you were caught dealing with those kinds of funds. And they basically, Britain quit sending money over. I mean, there was no legal tender at that time. So the Spanish dollars, the Spanish coinage was really what people were using besides a barter system.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think even today we still have barter systems.
Yes.
And so people forget that not everybody had money, but if you had a chicken, you might trade that for some work or some clothes or whatever.
Eggs for butter,
eggs,
or milk.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of what really happened is that things like the Texas cattle were able to feed troops, clothing, musket balls, cannons. People don't really believe that there were cannons and cannonballs in early New Mexico, but they brought them with them. And the same thing on these frigate ships. And so the Battle of Yorktown, which is kind of the final deciding battle of the American Revolution, would not have been won if Spain had not had naval frigates basically there for the French to use and George Washington's men.
Amazing. Wow. It's just absolutely amazing.
Bizarre history. You got to sit here and figure it out. Like, I had never heard about this.
It's not even bizarre. I just think it's colorful in the fact that it goes back to how we are so multicultural in our own way, even in our history that we forget about or don't know. And as it starts to come up,
right,
we start doing more research. And I'm seeing there are educational programs that are being developed for schools when I was doing some research on this.
Why would these facts not have come out in a bigger form earlier?
Well, lots of things. I mean, it depends on who wrote the book, what their scope of interest was. Publishers take out a lot of stuff from books. So if you gave a publisher an 800-page book, you might say take out 400 pages.
Oh.
And you have to decide as the author what you would take out of that. A lot of this stuff has been later discovered in the archives of the Indies, which are in Sevilla, Spain.
Right.
There's a lot of stuff, and I have to give a shout-out here to Jesse O. Villarreal Sr., who wrote The Tejano Patriots of the American Revolution. The University of Texas at Austin has a humongous amount of documents that pertain to Texas's patriotism towards the American Revolution.
Interesting history. We got to take another break here. Henrietta Christmas is in here, along with Barbara Clausen, and we're talking about all kinds of things connecting our sort of ancient past here in El Paso. The older
it feels ancient.
Well, yeah, the 1700s anyway.
It's about eight generations. It's eight or nine, I would say.
But connecting all that to Spain like that for the American Revolution, and we're inundated with Spain here because they, you know, this is Spain. We were called Spain, so there's that. All right, moving on to a trivia matter, young lady. What do
yes,
you got?
Yes, we will. Okay.
We'll come back and talk more here, because I know you got a whole pile of stuff there.
And we're going to throw out two questions again.
Sure, do it.
Okay. And the first one is, where is it? There it is. Okay. In 1776, well, November of 1776, the U.S. adopted the peso. For what reason? What were they doing adopting the peso?
Why did they have to do that?
Yeah, why did they have to do that?
You'll accept whatever answer that sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay, what's the other question?
And the other one was, where did the dollar sign come from?
Oh, I know this one.
Yes.
Didn't I just hear this?
Yes, we did. We just talked about that.
Okay,
talked about it a couple of times.
Give away some DVDs.
We're going to give away DVDs.
If you want to know what's in the ghost stories, I can tell you when you get in on the phone.
You get scared, yes.
No, this isn't scary stuff.
Yeah,
no, this is spiritual stuff.
Well, then it's not any fun.
You got your spirit all figured out? Well, it can be scary.
Yeah, that's true.
You want to be scared? You can
turn
be scared.
Turn the lights down when you're watching.
You
want to
be scared? You're going to be scared. Whatever. But they can win some of this stuff.
That's right. Got El Paso Gold, all kinds of different DVDs. And you've got the McGoffin Home in Tom Lee's El Paso. You've got Tapestry. And you've got the Mexican Revolution, which is an excellent one also. And Waco Tanks. Everybody loves that one. I was just talking to somebody on the plane coming back. She's not from El Paso, but she loves Waco Tanks.
Waco Tanks. Now, Shelley, do we need that call on this trivia, or is this ahead of trivia? Is that call's not trivia? Okay. Let's talk to Rod right now. We're going to put Rod on the radio before we go to trivia. Rod, what's up?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I had to ask. My great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was a Hessian. Can I join the American Daughters of the American Revolution?
Ooh.
Well, you can't join, but you can certainly investigate the Sons of the American Revolution.
That qualifies him?
Well, the Hessians were involved.
That's what I mean, but that qualifies him?
No. Well,
he just asked if he could join the daughters, and I was.
Well, you're saying on a gender basis. Is where you're going.
Yes, that's right.
Actually, he was a Hessian, which means he fought for the other side too.
Well, yes. The primary, and they're referenced often in the battle.
Barbara, admit it. You're not going to let him in.
Not the DAR, no, sir.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I'd like to see in a skirt, Rod.
Yeah, Rod. What are we doing? What else is on your mind, Rod? You can't do that.
Yeah, just wanted to let you know, a sad note, Dave Cookson, president of the Paso del Norte Pistoleros, died yesterday morning at 8 o'clock.
Well, thank you for letting us know. We don't normally do obits, but thank you for letting us know. You take it easy. We're going to move on here. Thank you, sir. That was Rod. We know Rod. Rod's been in here doing all kinds of neat stories in his life. So, all right, what is the deal here? You got the trivia? Just repeat the trivia questions.
Okay. In November of 1776, the U.S. adopted the peso as, you know.
Why?
Why? Why did they adopt the peso?
And the other one?
And the other one is, where did the dollar sign from the currency we have today come from?
Where did it originate?
Where did it originate?
Henrietta Christmas knows that.
That's right.
But
and
she's
you,
not going to confirm it
you
until
where it
you
came
say
from
it.
Too.
You got to call on the phone to win the money and the prizes, and there's no money, but they got prizes.
Right. Call 915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
It was about this time of year, back in 1881, after a trial in Mesilla, that Sheriff Pat Garrett took Billy the Kid to Lincoln, New Mexico, where he was to be hanged until dead. It didn't turn out that way. Billy the Kid escaped and killed both of his guards while Garrett was out of town. And what you've just heard is a snapshot of what came to be known in these parts as the Lincoln County War. This Sunday, we'll be saddling our iron horses and heading to the old Lincoln County Courthouse on the west end of Main Street, where to this day, you can still see a famous bullet hole Billy made during his flight. It's one thing to read about history, but any hog will tell you it's entirely different to experience it in person. to breathe the air, to ride along the gurgling Rio Bonito River, which forms the northern boundary of a town still not marred with gas stations or convenience stores. To experience the reality that became history, click on BarnettHarley.com or get your ride at Barnett Harley Davidson. Because now, just like back in the old West, a man is measured by his mount.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. It reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your money in the Wall Street casino. To get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com.
Acme Home Insurance.
Yes, I'd like to make a claim.
What are you wanting to claim, sir?
My air conditioner broke down.
Sorry, but your home insurance doesn't cover air conditioner breakdowns.
So, what do you cover?
Home damage from things like earthquakes, volcanoes, a zombie apocalypse.
A zombie apocalypse? But that'll never happen.
But if it did, you'd be covered, sir.
But not my air conditioner?
I'm afraid not.
But his air conditioner could have been covered with a home warranty from American Home Shield, plus components of 20 other major home systems and appliances, like his electrical system, plumbing, refrigerator, and more. For valuable free information, call 1-800-700-8303. Home insurance can cover what might happen.
Zombies are coming!
But a home warranty helps cover what will happen.
Now the dryer won't work.
Life happens. Have a plan. Get a home warranty from American Home Shield. For valuable free information, call 1-800-700-8303. That's 1-800-700-8303. 1-800-700-8303.
You love iced coffee, but you can't make that at home, can you? With the Hyperchiller, you can. Just pour or even brew hot coffee into the Hyperchiller, and in as little as 1 minute, you'll be enjoying an amazingly delicious iced coffee. The Hyperchiller rapidly chills up to 12 and a half ounces of coffee at once without any dilution. Save money, save time, and make great iced coffee at home with the Hyperchiller. Get $5 off your order when you enter the code ICEDCOFFEE at hyperchiller.com.
I don't like compromise, which means I don't want adjusting my underwear every other set until it becomes part of my routine. Solution? FreeGo by RevolutionWear.com. Underwear reimagined. I stay cool, dry, and focused on my next rep, not tugging and grabbing and putting things back in place. FreeGo by RevolutionWear.com is as high-tech as you can get with underwear. No pinching, no pulling, no restricting. Buy FreeGo online now at RevolutionWear.com. The revolution starts below.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hello, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. We're going to take a close look next week at the Bataan Death March. It's a diary that has come down from one of the people who actually survived. Number one, they wrote a diary, which is amazing. Number two, it survived. And number three, they survived. So Bernie Sargent's coming in. Help us read that diary. Talk about that kind of history. That's May 27th. June the 1st. Check this out. Felipe Solis and her mother, Rita Triana, talking about Spanish dance in El Paso.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Her dad, both their career, the mom's still around, dad's gone, but those people's career was huge. They were big Spanish dancers, and we're going to talk about how the Spanish influenced the border. Also, June the 7th, Southern New Mexico will be proud to hear that one of their favorite sons, Carl Lombaugh, going to be our guest with tales of history from across Southern New Mexico. Carl was the archaeologist at White Sands Missile Range for a couple of decades.
Hey,
boy, howdy does Carl know stuff. All right, trivia, what do you got here?
Well, we've got the National Trust for Historical Preservation.
Shelley, what you got?
Continuing on, and has designated month of May as Preservation Month. And this year, El Paso and an alliance of organizations will share the importance of preserving El Paso's treasures with over 20 programs to be held during this month. And there's programs being presented everywhere throughout the county. And you can call Shelley Sutherland at 915-581-4917 for more information, or pick up the El Paso Scene magazine and you'll find out where they're going. We had a lot of people that came out to Keystone Heritage Park last weekend, and it was wonderful, and we got to share a lot of information.
Well, Preservation Month is a national thing. El Paso picked it up 7-8 years ago, and now a bunch of locals here are running with it, and it's really working out well. So
it's a good thing.
Hey, you should preserve stuff. Okay, let's time for trivia. Let's go to line two, Sandy. Sandy, good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Is this the same Sandy we heard from earlier?
Yes, but now I'm here ready to answer a trivia question.
Oh, okay, now you're going to win some money. And no, I keep saying money. We don't have any money. It's whatever. Go ahead, Melissa.
Okay. In November of 1776, the U.S. adopted the peso as what?
As the money standard.
There
is that right? Yeah, I mean,
yes,
it's that simple,
it
right? There you go. Because the British weren't allowing their currency to cross the ocean anymore. To heck with you, colonists. Good luck with, you know, making something happen.
We got the pesos.
So they got some pesos. There you go, Sandy. So, Sandy, we appreciate your listening as always. Anything else on your mind this morning?
No, whatever we're going to do with regard to with the prize.
You want a prize?
He wants a prize.
Oh, you didn't want to just answer the question? You want a prize?
Come on.
Oh, my God. What do you want? You want
what
some would DVD?
You like? We got DVD.
We got some Pepe's food. What do you need? What do you need, Sandy?
We've got.
We can fix you up.
I'd like it. I was really impressed the last time I won 2 months ago. I picked up McLaughlin DVD.
Okay.
And that was done very well.
Thank you.
And I want to congratulate you on that.
No, thank you for that. That was fun.
The Mexican Revolutions is a really good one.
Yeah, have you that one?
I don't have the Mexican Revolution one.
Well, you want something else?
What else you have?
Waco Tanks. We've got Tom Lee's El Paso, Ghost Stories, Volumes 3 and 4.
Rosa Guerrero's Tapestry is in this mix today.
The Transportation video.
Women's
Legends
Club.
Legends of El Paso, Women's Club of El Paso.
I'll let the transportation video.
There you go.
Got it. Okay.
Transportation for the men.
Yay.
All right. Sandy, thanks for playing, guy. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
You get well.
Thanks so much for the show, guys. And you do a great job as always. And you know I'm behind you 150%.
Thanks a lot, dude. Take care. All right. Taking a break here. Come back. Talk to Larry. Back in just a moment.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. EPHistory.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-224-5353. That's 1-800-224-5353. 1-800-224-5353. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson paid for by OpenJAR.
Every year, truck accidents result in thousands of catastrophic injuries and wrongful deaths in the United States. Tractor trailers, 18-wheelers, big rigs, fire engines, semi-trucks, and other large commercial vehicles account for the majority of accidents, deaths, and injuries on the nation's highways. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, one in every eight traffic fatalities is caused by a collision with a large truck, and most deaths and injuries that occur in these accidents are the passengers of other vehicles. Tractor, trailer, and truck accidents are caused by a variety of factors, including truck safety, driver skill level, and driver fatigue. If you have been seriously injured or a loved one has died in a trucking accident, call the Trucking Accident Helpline now. Our network of experienced attorneys have decades of experience fighting large trucking companies and is ready to fight for you. Call for a free, no obligation, and confidential confidential consultation. Call 800-210-HURT. 800-210-HURT. 800-210-HURT.
This is Scotty Clark with Scott Heating and Cooling with a fantastic offer for you and your family. It's peace of mind. The peace of mind that comes from knowing that you've chosen the very best. Like the new XV20 split system from Trane. So with 24/7 service, 0% financing for 72 months, a 10-year parts and labor warranty, a lifetime warranty on my installation, and as always, my personal guarantee that you'll be satisfied or I will buy it back. What are you waiting for? Call the very best today, Scott Heating and Cooling, at 595-4529.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
She didn't just visit the sick and poor. She moved in with them because they needed help. Mother Teresa couldn't do it all, but she gave her all. Compassion. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Okay, it is time to find out what is happening in this week's El Paso, Inc.
Investors have infused millions into an ailing Las Cruces bank. Now they're expanding into El Paso.
Also in the Inc., young El Paso leaders have a message for expatriates. Come back home. A new initiative connects El Pasoans with jobs in their hometown.
The race for City Council District 8 seat is heating up, where the candidates stand on the big issues like the arena and police funding.
El Paso Inc. is online at elpasoinc.com, and it's available for home and business delivery.
Call El Paso Inc. at 534-4422 to subscribe.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, if you saw a dog inside a car in obvious distress because of the heat, what would you do? What's legal and what isn't? Plus new proposals designed to keep animals safe.
The program is live and interactive, and you can send in your comment or question via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7.
We got the lady who wrote the book on genealogy checklist in New Mexico. She's sitting here. That would be Henrietta Christmas. And we also have a lady who is part of the El Paso area Daughters of the American Revolution, Barbara Houghton Clausen. And we are going to talk to you guys here in a minute, but a guy's got a peso question. His name is Larry. Larry, got you on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning. It's not a question. I have collected Mexican coins for over 50 years. The United States adopted the 8 reales because the peso was not minted until 1866 under the Emperor Maximilian.
Was it a paper peso before that?
No, there were no pesos. That denomination and decimal coinage was introduced by the Emperor Maximilian in the 1860s.
So how does that set with anybody? Did we say something different?
Well, the equivalency of the George Washington and the American Revolution in terms of them adopting the peso at that time is that they had to use Spanish mill dollars, basically, for funds.
Pardon?
My radio's too loud.
Oh,
the caller.
Larry, turn your radio down, please.
Oh, that's what he's talking about. Yeah, we're getting some echo feedback off you, Larry. Go ahead, Henrietta.
Okay, so they used the Spanish mill dollar for currency at that time. Otherwise, the British would have, or the American colonies would have used barter specie, S-P-E-C-I-E, and tried to mill their own bucks. But it really didn't happen.
Well, the point was, the caller is saying that it wasn't called a peso back then, I think. Is that what you're saying, Larry?
8 reales, yes.
Yeah, it's okay. The 2 bits, 4 bits, 8 bucks a dollar type of thing.
That was 6 bits. But
right, 6 bits.
Are we okay here? Larry?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just saying the peso did not exist in name or existence until 1866. It was the same weight and fineness as the 8 reales. Mexico continued to mint the 8 reales, even though they went to a decimal standard after Maximilian left. Primarily, the 8 reales were for the Oriental trade because that was the coin they were used to.
Right, but when you also look at colonial period documents from the 1700s, take a will, for instance, they would have had value put to certain things like a horse being worth 10 pesos.
So that's what they were saying then.
And so that's what they were saying then, even in Diego de Vargas's will in 1705, whenever he died.
Larry, I'm not sure what the discrepancy is, but I appreciate your pointing it out.
Yeah, what I'm saying is the peso did not exist until Emperor Maximilian in the 1860s.
By the way, now that would be an interesting story we need to recount, is old Max, what he did down there with Carlotta. Oh, that history's bizarre. Are you good at that history? Larry? Do you know that history?
Do I know about history?
No, the Maximilian and Carlotta.
Yes.
Are you an expert enough to come in here and talk to us about that?
No.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to move on. Well, thanks for calling today.
He likes his money.
You take care. Thanks a lot.
Certificate in history, though.
Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, guys. Take care,
Larry.
Another caller coming online here named Bob. Bob, we got you on the radio. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Howdy.
I remember reading an interview by Henrietta in the Chronicles of the Trail back in 1916, the journal El Camino Real de Tierra Dentro.
You wrote an article for something, huh?
I probably did.
she's wrote dozens of articles.
To get an interview, and I remembered it from there, and she was descended from Herman Martin Serrano.
That's correct. The Martinez progenitor for New Mexico, Hernan Martin Serrano, is my 14th great-grandfather.
Yes, something.
Small world, huh?
I remembered that article.
Good.
All right. It was great. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, thank you, Bob, for contributing that. You have a good day.
All righty. Bye-bye.
And come out to Pepe's if you can. Also, we need Sandy to call back. Sandy did not tell how to pick up a prize, so Sandy, you want to get involved in the prize end of this business, you need to call us. Okay, we need a couple more stories here. We're almost out of time, but not really. There's the book you've written on genealogy, and also that would be Henrietta Christmas. And Henrietta's going with us to lunch at Pepe's today. And Barbara has gotten hijacked to go to another book. But it's your book. You got to go sign the book that you helped. We didn't really author it. You more like helped publish. Edited is the word here.
Correct.
What do you want to tell us about? You got more local stories of DAR, or where do you want to go?
Well, what I want to remind everybody is that any information that you'd like to get on the DAR is on the website, dar.org, and I highly recommend you go there. There's a lot to learn. There's a complete list of Patriots' names, so if you want to kind of get a feeling for whether you have the potential of becoming a member, and as you said, we'll help them along if they'd like. But I thought I'd pass on a little vignette about someone who was doing their genealogy and discovered that their ancestor, a Cherokee woman, was a DAR patriot. And so she joined the DAR based upon that lineage. And there's many, many American Indian stories to be told about their patriotic involvement.
So the DAR will take Indians?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
If they're appropriately connected to the subject.
And there was Pocahontas, of course.
Oh, yes. And she was a DAR member now, right?
Her descendants.
Okay, that would be that senator lady up there, I think. However, that was let's don't go there, shall we? But the DAR being what it is, how would you characterize its influence, either one of you? What is it doing? Is it just reminding us of our history and we really need this, or what?
I believe that what it's doing is contributing to the community today in order to revere the people who fought in the Revolution, and doing it through education and patriotism. And our members join to be in service, not just to be social, but to provide service to the community.
If somebody wants to get involved, again, there's a website, but that's national.
That's national.
How do they find you?
My phone number is 915-584-1176. You're welcome to call me if you're interested. You're welcome to come as a guest to our meetings. We won't meet again until September. September is a big deal. September is Constitution Week, when the United States celebrates in the month. And we hold our September meeting in conjunction with the local Sons of the American Revolution chapter. And it's always a very enlightening speaker.
September 18th.
I'm not sure of the date, but it should be the third Friday in September.
Oh, that's when the Constitution happened, I think. Well, this is interesting stuff. We need to take another break here and come back and maybe explain a little bit more about northern New Mexico. And how big a deal is this in northern New Mexico?
It's a big deal.
Okay, we need to hear about that because, I mean, maybe we should make a big deal out of it here. What do you think?
I think everyone should make a big deal out of it.
Well, there you go. Should we take a phone call or two?
I think so.
What's the number?
915-544-5876. 915-544-KTSM.
You make a good living, but your money is slashed by taxes every step of the way. 25 to 35% income tax, 15% Social Security tax, 8.5% sales tax, property, gasoline, corporate gains, and we're just getting started. If your income is $100,000 or more a year, every dollar you make is cut by about 50%. Bill Linderman here, El Paso's old-fashioned finance dude. One tax you shouldn't pay is tax on your retirement. On an InTouch financial plan, you'll have non-taxable growth on your wealth. I can show you in writing, guaranteed, how you can grow your retirement without getting slashed by the tax man. Call me to learn how you can grow your wealth without risk or taxation at 915-595-2752. That's 915-595-2752. Or on the interwebs at keepingintouchfinancial.com. InTouch Financial, keeping the tax man's hand off your retirement and you in touch with your money.
Men, you know how women are always suggesting something looks really good on you, and you think it's because they want to change you? It's the exact opposite. Frigo by RevolutionWear.com is underwear reimagined, the ideal solution for all that squirming and adjusting you're experiencing. Frigo by RevolutionWear.com releases you from pinching, pulling, and restricting. And trust me, they love the way it looks on you. Frigo by RevolutionWear.com. The revolution starts below.
If your dog has shedding, dry skin, excessive scratching, I would recommend Dynavite.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Doggo Suds.
Free. This week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E .com.
So, how's the remodel going?
Oh my gosh, where do I start? My contractor is amazing. He's made the whole process so easy on me. It's like I've always said, it pays to look for the seal. Ladies, I am not kidding. I always look for the seal.
Oh, I know you do. I do too.
Me too.
That's the truth. When we bought our car, we looked for the seal. When we were searching for daycares, we looked for the seal. I won't even buy shoes online unless I see the seal.
The BBB makes my life easier because I know I can always trust BBB accredited businesses. That's why I always look for the seal.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It's a radio day here. We're having fun talking about El Paso history, finding out some things we didn't know, such as New Spain helping out the American Revolution. And people call up saying, I knew all about that. Really? I didn't know about that. But
see,
I mean, that's the way it goes.
Well, people learn, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I had seen something a few years ago when I was kind of messing around the internet.
And apparently Sheldon Hall was big. I didn't realize that connection. He was a big deal in that. So we've got these folks in here for another couple of minutes, maybe talking about contact information. And also, Henrietta Christmas, you were going to explain to us a little bit about how big a deal is the DAR in northern New Mexico, especially on this subject.
Well, it's a big deal. We have a list of about 120 soldiers that can qualify for DAR lineage
Not Oñate soldiers.
Not Oñate. We're talking American Revolution, 1776.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Well, you're going to the American soldiers can connect back to New Mexico.
Right.
Got
and
it.
So we have currently about 30 of those 120 verified, which is a big deal. So we're constantly around asking people if they want to participate, if they have lineage, so on and so forth. Myself, I have 6 soldiers that I've actually been able to verify. You don't have to live in New Mexico. We've allowed people to move out of New Mexico, as I always say. So we have people all over the world.
You allow that?
Yes. As president of the New Mexico Genealogical Society, we ship journals all across the country into the United States and 6 other countries outside. And so we have descendants from these Spanish patriots that live all over. And again, if you have an ancestor, if you live, let's say, in Virginia and you don't know how to pursue this, the DAR Library in Washington, D.C. is one of the most renowned genealogical research institutions in the country.
Well, wasn't there something, I kind of remember running across something in reading last night about somebody had, their relative had donated the pesos, 2 pesos, whatever it was at that time, and wanted to get registered because they had been considered a patriot for doing that. Is
right.
that all?
That's exactly how it works
it
for
does.
New Mexico and El Paso.
Yeah.
We have lists for Parral, Mexico, Cerro Gordo, which are other presidios in the realm of Nueva España, as you would call it at that time. Another shout out I'm going to bring at lunch today, the El Palacio magazine. It's the History Museum of New Mexico's journal paper, and they have an archaeological article on the Santa Fe Presidio, which is really kind of interesting if you're into archaeology. And then a shout out again to the Patriots for Memorial Weekend coming up. I'm a big advocate through DAR and personally of people that will lay down their life for my freedom. And so I just want to give a big shout out to them and thank them for their service. And the Santa Fe Trail is going to be 200 years old in 2021. And so a lot of things coming up history-wise that I think El Paso can participate in.
That's great.
You need a radio show up there about New Mexico. You know that. I couldn't tell you how to make that
happen. I think we have somebody we can suggest it
well,
is to
you
do
need
it.
A radio station. Now that, once you got the idea, then you need a station.
There you
so
go.
Then there's that. Barbara Hooten-Clausen, what should people do to get involved in El Paso? DAR.
Well, just contact me, and I will be glad to help you go through the process of determining whether you have a patriot or not.
Somebody heard it today for the first time that this area connected to the American Revolution and said, what? And they ring you up. Then what's going to happen? You're going to tell them, explain it to them?
Our chapter, that's how this all got started, because when I became regent of the local chapter, and my last day was yesterday, I spent 5 years, I knew that the Spanish Task Force was what we should be involved in, or at least I believe that. We've already got all the connections to military programs, but we took up the Spanish Task Force, and that's how I discovered that Henrietta was there.
You connect also to the ROTCs in El Paso.
We
explain that.
We are heavily involved in the ROTC awards, the junior ROTC awards that go to all the local high school districts. So we give out many, many awards, and it's the committee that a lot of our members enjoy belonging to, because they go to these award ceremonies and they get to meet these wonderful young people that are involved in our local. We have a wonderful junior ROTC program in El Paso.
And if you do a Google search, I'm going to bounce back to it. If there's even the AmericanRevolution.org has some links to, for example, here's one, Spain's role in the American Revolution from the Atlantic to the Pacific Ocean, and they do reference back to New Mexico.
Yes.
So there is information. You just got to do a little bit of search, and it's amazing.
Yes, I think it's coming out. It's I wouldn't call it new history, but it's new history.
Yeah, it's just it's being put out there for people to find.
It's newly revealed because, I mean, it's always been there.
Well, right. And like she says, the archives in Seville, I was watching a show recently on the History Channel that they were talking about all the new information they've found on that nobody knew about before because it hadn't been translated or it's just been there. And people spending the time going through the millions of records
right.
at the Spanish archives in Seville.
Well, there's still the possibility of anybody who has ancestors from that era or from that location. They find a trunk in the attic, and all of a sudden, whoa, what's this?
It's a new door.
That happens all the time.
Exactly.
It does happen.
And it's not new information, but it's new now.
Right.
That's what you mean. So that's an interesting history that you're looking at, northern New Mexico. Now, if somebody from here wanted to get involved in your group up there, would you let that happen?
Absolutely.
How do they get hold of you?
The best way to do it, again, is through the website of the Daughters of the American Revolution, DAR.org. You can go in there, and it says find a chapter, and you can go to every state and countries that there's chapters in and find a chapter that
way. That's how you do it. Okay. And this lady, Henrietta Christmas, saying that with a straight face. That's her name. You do this every day, I'm sure.
Every day.
You'll be out there at Pepe's with us today at lunch.
I will be there, yes.
And we're going to have that special for $6 as opposed to normal. And it's the Christmas enchiladas for her.
And
red,
on our,
meaning
and on,
red and green. Go ahead.
And on our Facebook page, I've got the link to the New Mexico
Genealogical Society.
Where they can also reach you.
Yes.
And I have Barbara's phone number on there also. So we got some information. You can learn a little bit more about that. So.
And somebody named Lily Bean has already said they like your picture that we put up of you on Facebook.
Finally got you up there.
Do you know Lily Bean?
No.
You might meet her today at lunch. You never know. Everybody else, there's a book signing 1 o'clock over at Burgess Library. It's a Burgess book. It's by a Burgess granddaughter. Great-granddaughter? I keep missing a generation for you there. And you'll be out there today at the Burgess Library. Everybody else, see you at Pep at ephistory.com for the details on the radio show. Podcast coming as we can get them online.
Otherwise.
Again, thanks to Control Room. Melissa, thank you. Shall we come back next week?
Next week.
We're doing Bernie and the whole Bataan Death March.
Yes.
See you then. Thanks a lot for joining us. Take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.
My fellow Americans, this weekend, I begin my first trip overseas as president, a trip with historic significance for the American people. I will be visiting with the leaders in many different countries to strengthen our old friendships, build new partnerships, and unite the civilized world in a fight against terrorism. In that spirit of unity, I will travel to lands associated with three of the world's great religions. My first stop will be Saudi Arabia, the heart of the Muslim world. There, I will address a historic gathering of the leaders of more than 50 Muslim nations. I will represent the views of the American people frankly and clearly. Many of these leaders have expressed growing concern about terrorism, the spread of radicalization, and Iran's role in funding both. Now it appears Muslim leaders are ready to take more responsibility and a much bigger role in fighting terrorism in their region. It's about time we do it. We'll do it together, but it has to be done. America cannot solve all of the world's problems, but we can and we must help any nation willing to join in the common cause of eradicating terrorism from the face of the earth. Next, I'll travel to the ancient city of Jerusalem to talk with my good friend, Prime Minister Netanyahu, about bringing peace and prosperity to both our nations. Israel is an important American ally. But in recent years, we haven't always treated them that way. It's time to renew our friendship. While I'm there, I'll also meet with President Abbas of the Palestinian Authority in Bethlehem to discuss ways to advance peace between Israel and the Palestinians. From there, I'll head to the Vatican, where I will have the great honor